To kick off each hour of the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese to say a prayer.
Hi everyone, my name is Lauren and I'm a senior at Blessed Trinity Catholic High School. Being able to attend such an amazing school has been such a blessing, especially being able to be involved with campus ministry and having such wonderful teachers. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your glory and your unconditional love towards all of your children. I ask that you come upon each of these listeners, that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit and be witnesses to your glory in everything that they do. Help us as believers to spread your holy gospel like wildfire, proclaiming your name in whatever we do. Enlighten our minds to receive and utilize the intellect that you give us, and fill us with your guidance as we navigate this world filled with earthly temptations. Help us to be good representatives of what the Catholic faith truly is all about, which is glorifying you, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Listen to AM 1160, The Quest.
And we are back in the last hour of the pledge drive. And it's like, you know, kind of like baseball. You know, you got your power hitter hitting the cleanup position. We bring in Father Henry from St. Lawrence in Lawrenceville.
Thank you, Dave.
For the cleanup position here.
Right.
We are now at $24,660. That's what we're working to get before 6 o'clock. Okay. Is that doable, Father?
Well, we'll see what we could do. I think we could put a significant dent on that, but I'm not sure how,
let's
how
see
much
what
we're
we
going to
do.
Let's work it and see.
And like I was saying last hour, I mean, I don't expect anybody to write a check for $24,660.
Right.
But maybe if they wanted to, we're going to accept it.
We're going to accept it. That's right.
But maybe just the $60 is all you could cover.
Sometimes that's all we'll take it to.
Yeah, we'll take that. And you could stretch that out over a year if you want to do $5 a month.
Right.
That'd be fine too. $600, whatever you can do. We've got a dollar for dollar match going on. And that started out as $30,000 back at 3 o'clock. So we're working on it here.
Right. And I know for all those who are regular listeners of The Quest, my voice might be a little familiar to some of them, as I've done the pledge drives in the past. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to also welcome with me today in the studio, Jeremy Noonan. And Jeremy is going to be my co-host today. And Jeremy is going to be sharing some pretty interesting stuff with us about his own journey, his journey of faith. Jeremy, welcome. Welcome to this wonderful hour as we continue to celebrate the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive.
I'm delighted to be here.
That's great. All right. So before we get into the substance of our conversation, Jeremy and myself this evening, once more, I'm grateful to all those who have been able to dial in, tune in, downloaded the app to join us in this Best of the Quest Pledge Drive. Again, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is for the mission of the church, what we are doing here at The Quest. The mission of Christ to the apostles before his ascension was go into the whole world, proclaim the good news. And I think that The Quest continues to be a very critical ally in that task of proclaiming the good news. So any support, any help that we could offer to The Quest would be very great. As we conclude with this hour of this, the Best of The Quest Pledge Drive, again, just a reminder that the number is 470-508-1160. And what we have as a goal is still somewhere about 24,600. So we're hoping that all of our very faithful listeners will be able to help us put a dent on that. Don't we, Jeremy?
Absolutely. I'm expecting great. It. I'm expecting it. Let's deliver this last hour.
Right. Well, Jeremy, it's such a delight to be with you, to share this hour with you, and to have this opportunity to have a little chat about your story, your story of faith, your journey. And it's interesting, when Jeremy and I were preparing for this hour, he sent me some notes about his journey, and I found that very interesting. Just the very first paragraph kind of caught my attention. A couple of things from that. And the very first one is that Jeremy went to Georgia Tech. Well, your sins are forgiven for that. Okay.
I got an indulgence before I went.
Oh, you did? So you got an indulgence before you went. Yeah, for a guy from UGA, I think that we will continue to exercise some patience with you. All right. But it was very interesting when you talked about the trip you made to Split, Croatia. because that was a place that I visited, I think 2011. So I was very, interested when I saw that you actually did make a trip to Split at some point, which I think that was at some point along on your journey, right? Your journey of faith.
Absolutely. So that was a mission trip to Split, Croatia, which only a few years removed from the wars that led to the split of Yugoslavia.
Okay, that's right.
And Yugoslavia being an atheist, communist country had very much decimated the church, especially with young people.
Isn't that
in Croatia? So right. It was a Protestant, mission outreach to college students in Split. And who would not want to be a missionary in Split?
In Split, right?
On the Dalmatian coast. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world. So,
right.
It wasn't a whole lot of suffering in our service for Christ in that context.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, I did make a trip over there myself. I was on my way to Medjugorje. And so we flew into Split, and we did also make a brief stop over in Dubrovnik. But yeah, beautiful country over there in Croatia. Yeah. But Jeremy, I think I'd like to give you an opportunity to try to tell us a little bit about your story. I know right now you're a happily married man, father of four. But tell us the Jeremy Noonan story, right? Let's get where you started, how you came to the Catholic Church, and how the Quest, the Quest Radio was able to help in that.
So, sure. Well, let me say hi to my beautiful wife and children, who I hope are listening at home, blessed with a
beautiful,
wonderful family. Well, my spiritual journey began with my family's migration south from Massachusetts. In fact, I was just in Massachusetts with my son, visiting some family and helping him connect with his New England roots. And not long after moving down here, my parents got a divorce.
Okay.
Though they were raised Catholic and Episcopal, respectively, those were their spiritual heritages.
Right.
That was not something that we were made to do or taught in our home. We did not attend church. But through the difficulty of the divorce, this was in second and third grade, when this unfolded, I found refuge in another family who were faithful Protestants at a Southern Baptist church.
Right.
And they embraced me and loved me as one of their own children. And I would spend most weekends with them, which included going to church on Sunday, went to children's Sunday school, and this large Baptist mega church that many of our listeners would be familiar with. It's been a large influential church in the Atlanta area for a really long time.
Oh, wow.
And so I had a Christian upbringing in that sense, in that this family taught me the faith and brought me to church with them and began to identify myself.
How old were you when your parents separated, when your parents divorced?
Seven or eight. It was between second and third grade. Wow. So I gradually begin identifying myself, with them as a Christian.
Okay.
And that these were my people.
Okay. So let me get the story straight. So your parents divorced, you're living with your mom or dad? Or?
My mom at first, but then quickly moved in with my dad.
Okay. But you're going to church with this other family?
Yes.
Those friends. Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Interesting.
And, I saw in them, especially the mother of the family, Ms. Forrest, just a sweet Christ-like spirit.
Okay.
They had, Bible storybooks all over their house, for kids.
Right.
And so I was attracted to their lives and attracted to, the stability and security that I found, in this church, and eventually was baptized in that church by the time I got to high school.
Okay. Wow. Wonderful story. And, I think your story resonates with a lot of people, just at least this first part of it, just given, I guess, the divorce crisis that we're experiencing in society, right? Mm-hmm. And how that continues to affect especially so many of the younger children. So I think that even at that time, even in the midst of the struggles that you were going through with parents separating, it's God's providence that there was a family there that was going to this Protestant church that was able to get you plugged into some kind of a spiritual life, a kind of a exposure.
Sure, the trial of a divorce and broken family created in me a hunger for what the church, had to offer.
Wow.
So it prepared me for that.
Wow, isn't that something? All right. Well, as we continue to listen to Jeremy's story, again, just invite all of you, our our listeners that we're here today celebrating the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive. And today we're doing the last hour of this the Pledge Drive this time. And our goal is still somewhere about 24,000, but we're hoping at this hour to be able to put a significant dent on that.
Absolutely.
So, Dave, so why don't we set our goal this hour for 10,000?
I'd be happy with that.
Why don't we do
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, let me just say a couple things here.
Right.
First of all, the next three people that donate any amount, the next three people that donate, we have two $25 gift cards for Brookwood Grill. I don't know if you've ever eaten there. It's right
I'm in the Brookwood Grill.
Yeah, it's up the street here.
Really nice place.
Yes. It's real good stuff. So two people are going to get that. And then we also have a $25 gift certificate to Thai House.
Oh, wow.
So if you like Thai food, just donate and you know, try to make the donation at least the $25.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
And I'll gladly take them when I'm done. So please make sure that they're not here by the time I'm finished.
So, so go ahead and do that. And that number, once again, is 470-508-1160. You can go to thequestatlanta.com or you can tap donate on the Quest Atlanta app on your phone. And in any one of those three ways will get you those gift cards as well. So, Father.
Absolutely.
Oh, and can I just take some time and I want to give some shout outs here. I want to thank these people for being so generous.
Okay.
Judy in Dallas, thank you so much. That's in memory of her husband. We have James in honor of Father Henry, James from Sharpsburg.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you very much. Amy from Johns Creek. That's in honor of Linda Scharnhorst and Carrie Allen.
Okay.
And all the hosts. And in fact, Carrie Allen's doing a Ephesians Bible study coming up here on the Quest. So
okay.
That's beautiful. Exciting. Some of the good local programming we have.
Wow.
Richard, in honor of Father Adrian, who was on last hour. Richard's from Dallas. Lori from Woodstock. She says she loves us. And Jerry from Gainesville, thank you very much. So go ahead, Father.
All right, beautiful. Just to extend a sincere gratitude to all those who have already made pledges and all those who have sent in contributions, we are so grateful for the support that you continue to offer the Quest Radio Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Jeremy, a part of your story, I mean, just, I guess, picking up from where we left off. You did tell me in part of it in the script that you sent me that there was one time you vacationed with this family up in Blue Ridge, in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and that up there you picked up the Bible for the first time.
Sure, that's my earliest distinct memory of reading and understanding the Bible and wanting to know its contents. So they had a Bible in the back of their van, and they remember this story, something we laugh about even today.
Oh, yeah.
Where I just picked it up and just read the entire book of Genesis in one sitting.
Isn't that something?
It took me a couple hours.
How old were you?
That would have been fourth grade.
Fourth grade, yeah. That's what I said.
9 years old. And I just loved it. You know, I just read and read and read, so much so with all the driving through the mountains, the valleys, that I just had a horrible headache from reading in the car that long.
And I know that was could sound like a little bit of a while back now, but for a fourth grader, could you try to capture what reading the Bible did for you or did to you?
Again, I think it was all wrapped up in that sense of looking for a sense of belonging, a connection to something greater than myself, a connection to something stable. But this family in their Baptist church cultivated in me a love for the Bible and Bible stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a difference between reading it in a children's book and reading the Bible itself. And
absolutely.
That's where I made that transition to, this is something I'm beginning to embrace. And I've been reading the Bible the rest of my life, you know, since then.
Isn't that something?
Regularly.
And I think it is important, especially for our listeners to understand, we cannot emphasize enough the value of the Bible, right? For our faith, for us as Christians. You know, every time I prepare a couple for marriage, in the very first meeting with them, when I try to acquaint myself with them and talk about what marriage preparation is going to be about, one of the things I really emphasize to them about is the fact that they have to have a Bible based faith. You know, that they need to understand the importance that the scriptures has for our faith journey. So listening to how even in the fourth grade the Bible could have this kind of an impact in your life, and to the extent that it has brought you to where you are today, I think is just so impressive.
Well, I'll add to that. I mean, there is a common misconception among Protestants that Catholics downplay the Bible or that the Bible is not central to Catholic spirituality. And there might have been a time when that was true when most people didn't have access to it. But
right.
It's been such a surprise to find that not to be true at all, especially in the Mass.
Right.
And you have the three Bible readings. And so for me to find, wow, I mean, they really are serious about the Bible too, and that's central to Catholic devotion. It was really important.
Right. And I think for us as Catholics, yeah, the Bible is not just simply something we read, right? It's almost every part of our life. It's part of, you know, in liturgy and celebration of the sacraments, in over every almost every aspect of Catholic life, we see how the Bible is deeply immersed. So that's what makes our relationship to the Bible, I mean, somewhat unique, right? Okay, well, again, grateful to all of our listeners at this very final hour as we continue to celebrate the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive. Again, we're asking all of our listeners, if you're able to make a donation, big or small, it will be deeply appreciated in helping the Quest fulfill this great mission, this great task of evangelization. That number again for you to donate is 470-508-1160. Or you could also go to thequestatlanta.com, or you could just tap on the Quest Atlanta app. Just tap donate, and you'll be able to make a donation. So we thank you so much. And this is Father Henry Atem, and I'm here in the studio with Jeremy Noonan, and Jeremy is sharing with us his wonderful story of faith. Jeremy, I'm going to take this opportunity to try. Let's get into how the Quest radio station did help in that. What difference did the Quest make in helping you, not only your conversion, but I guess in how you've grown to really love and appreciate the Catholic faith, and how it has helped you in being that deeply connected, you know,
sure,
to the church.
We could definitely spend the rest of the hour talking about
that.
I mean, to give some more context, I mean, since my college days, where I was a Protestant missionary for 5 years after college. And became a member of the Presbyterian Church of America and identified with the Presbyterian or Calvinist tradition, which has some differences from Southern Baptist, but they're not huge.
Okay.
So that's the stream that I have been in, you know, as an adult for the last 20 plus years.
Okay.
And so as far as my journey towards Catholicism and the role that the Quest has played in that, I homeschooled my two older children who are now high school seniors through their middle school years. And when I started back at work, the 2021 school year, started going back to work and was commuting and was looking for substantive Christian content on the radio to listen to in my commute. And also days where I was picking my children up from school, my younger children up from school. So I knew to find that on the AM stations, you know, the FM evangelical stations are mostly music.
Music, that's right.
And any
and
sort
sports.
Of, and any sort of talk is not too substantive.
Right.
And then you have some Protestant AM stations that are typically sermon-based, where they just play one 30-minute preacher after another, basically broadcasting their sermon. So I was probably looking more for that kind of thing. That's what I was used to. And so I found the Quest in the course of that. And it immediately gratified my desire for substantive conversations.
Conversation. Wow.
I mean, I was gripped by it, you know, from the beginning. I can't recall the first program I listened to, but I know in my morning commute, the sunrise morning show. Sometimes I would get to work late enough with traffic to hear Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
Okay.
And then on the afternoon commute, that would typically be Cresta in the Afternoon.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, his show is called Conversations of Consequence.
Wow.
So if you're looking for a substantive conversation. And this was different, too, because it wasn't preaching, you know, mostly, which is, one way, unilateral.
Right.
You know, it was actual conversation.
Conversations, mm-hmm. Right.
And the depths of these conversations, you know, immediately struck me. Father John Ricardo on Christ is the Answer. I mean, his was more like his teaching, like his seminars and things that he would play. But if I didn't know he was a Catholic priest, I wouldn't have known, you know, most of the time that he was actually Catholic, that his whole spirit and the way that he was talking about spirituality and mission and Christian obedience and discipleship, he sounded so familiar. Right. And that was kind of the theme of all these shows, is I'm getting the substantive conversation that I'm looking for. And even though I knew it was Catholic, it all sounded very familiar.
Right.
You know, most of it was deeply agreeable and consonant with what I've long believed. But there was enough sort of strangeness about it and difference about it that it also felt very new and refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's simultaneously this is something that feels old and familiar, but also very fresh and new.
Yeah.
And that experience was very meaningful and just kept me listening day after day.
Right. And I think it's important for us to try to educate our listeners on something here, because listening to you, Jeremy, tell that story, you know, you were such a seeker. I mean, you were looking. I mean, it's not like you were one of those guys who did not really care about your faith or care about faith at all, or cared about religion. But I know at one point in your life, you had considered ministry, joining the ministry, right? And then, so tell us a little bit about that. And even when you did the Campus Crusade for Christ, it was?
Yes.
Yeah. So all those things show that you had a profound desire for ministry, a profound desire for the faith. And so your journey is somewhat, I guess, unique and impactful in that way, because you were someone who was seeking, right?
Sure. And I was also seeking spiritual revival, in a sense. Okay. I mean, there were deep things that had been going on with me, you know, for a number of years, doubts and about the faith and other sorts of personal struggles that had just been exasperated in recent years for a number of reasons. So it wasn't just, you know, I'm sort of happy and content where I am and for a long time, and I happen to find this radio station that just speaks to me in familiar ways.
All right.
There were aches, you know, deep aches and spiritual struggles that I was not finding answers to.
Right.
And I think looking back, I had been on what was close to a 5-year period of what the Catholic spiritual tradition calls spiritual desolation.
Okay.
You know, where I was faithful and committed to prayer and reading my Bible and Christian obedience and Sunday worship and those sorts of things. I had not abandoned right. those routines,
right.
but felt stuck.
Okay.
And there was something new and fresh that was appealing to me, and that gradually began speaking to those doubts and those doubts and those wounds and those struggles that I had been having for a right. very long time.
Wow. And you know, it is a very common, I guess, trend, especially among young people. So many of our young people, they are looking, they are seeking, they are creating.
I'm glad you count me as a young person. That's encouraging. But
I think that describes where the world is today. A lot of people are seeking and they are looking. And in a few moments here, I'm going to pick up again with Jeremy on his story. But before we continue, again, thanks to all of our listeners at this very final hour of the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive. We're grateful that you're able to tune in and listen to us. Dave, do we have any news?
We have lots of news, yes.
Okay, that's
so
good.
Let's give some shout-outs right now to some
why don't we
very
do that?
Generous people. Nelson... he's donated some money in honor of Father Henry.
Oh, thank you.
We've got Joe from Douglasville. We've got Michael from Peachtree City. We've got Edward in Thanksgiving for Father Henry. He's from Lopburn. We also have Carol in honor of Jeremy. Thank you very much. And Olga is from Winder and has donated as well.
Okay.
So we thank all those people. And I want to... we've kind of touched on this, but I want to really bring this out, that if you're hearing Jeremy's story, which I find very compelling,
right?
Like, I want to hear more of this too. And if this has touched Jeremy this way, if this radio station has had this effect on him, and he's one person, let's just say he's the only person, which I know he's not, but let's just say isn't this all worth it? If it saves one soul,
right.
one sends one soul to Christ,
absolutely
to heaven. Isn't that worth it right there. And we need your support if we're going to, this is totally listener supported. We'll have to get an updated number there, but we really are in the home stretch here. We need those donations.
Yeah.
Dollar for dollar, we've got a match going on. So anything you donate, whether it's $50, whether it's $1,000, whatever, it will be matched. So
that's
that
good.
Will double yours. So we're going to take a little break here.
Okay.
If that's all right.
Sounds good.
And let's hear more from Jeremy and Father Henry when we get on the other side here.
All right.
You're listening to AM 1160 The Quest, and this is our fall pledge drive, where the theme is The Best of the Quest, Stories of Inspiration. After hearing these stories of inspiration, if you are moved to donate, please call 470-508-1160. Go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to the Best of the Quest pledge drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
The Quest presents The Family Room, sponsored by Versebrite.
Christine Bruce, an apostolate that she has called Praying for Our Prodigals.
A section from St. Faustina's diary, where Jesus was talking to St. Faustina. You will save more souls through prayer and suffering than will a missionary through his teachings and sermons alone. So once again, it's not all unnecessary about the words, but through prayer and suffering.
Hear this entire conversation on The Family Room podcast at thequestatlanta.com. New episodes Wednesday mornings at 11 on AM 1160. The Quest.
If you're a financial advisor and would like to learn how to help your clients achieve their charitable giving goals, then join the Catholic Foundation Professional Advisors Network Luncheon on Wednesday, September 28th. Go to thequestatlanta.com for more information.
The Quest presents The Truth from Youth with Samson.
Let me tell you about the rosary. When you pray the rosary, you give time to God and Mary. Praying the rosary helps you to focus and get closer to God. Spending time praying and thinking about the mysteries can help you become a better person. If you try to live the faith and show the love that Mary and Jesus did, the mysteries help you remember the special things that happened to Jesus and Mary. My brother told me he sees me sleeping at night with a rosary in my hand. I guess I fell asleep. My dad says he can't think of anything better than that. I try to pray the rosary every day, and I really suggest you to do it too.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
The Quest presents Mom Minutes with Cameron Frad from Among the Lilies.
I think that we are so blessed as Catholics to have Mama Mary, okay? When my kids are little, they call her Mama M, and then eventually she becomes Mama Mary. We are so blessed with Blessed Virgin Mary, whatever name you want to call her. She's amazing. She's a mom. She gets it, right? She totally gets it, and she desires us to know and encounter her son. So when you have had a hard day and you felt like you have failed today as a mom, ask for her help. When you don't know what to do for your child, I turn to her, and I'm like, okay, Mary, I don't know what my son needs right now, but you do. So you please fill in the gaps, fill in the pieces where I'm messing up here, and you just be with them. You help him, you help her, encourage them, and lead them to your son. Let them know him, love him, and serve him. And I think that we get to take advantage of that, which is really cool. I am nowhere near as good of a mom as her, but I try, and by her grace, she will teach me how to be a good mom, too.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
Hey, I'm E. Walter Smith from Christ Our Hope Parish in Lithonia, Georgia. You're listening to AM 1160, The Quest, WCFO, East Point, Atlanta, covering all of Metro Atlanta and beyond. Listen on air or even find us online at thequestatlanta.com any time of the day. Embrace your journey. Come on, join The Quest.
The Best of the Quest, Stories of Inspiration Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160 on our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive
on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And we are back on the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive, and this is the final hour. We're coming into the home stretch, the ninth, the bottom of the ninth.
That's
here.
Right. Yeah. We're right here at the end. And again, in the studio today, you have, I'm here with Jeremy. I'm Father Henry Atem, pastor of St. Lawrence in Lawrenceville. And I'm here with Jeremy Noonan from Douglasville. And Jeremy has been sharing with us his conversion story, his journey of faith. And Jeremy, I'm going to let
Father, just before you get into that, I just want real quick. I just want to mention, we kind of realize we're probably not going to hit that 30,000 mark, but really, we had some big donations come in.
Right.
If we could hit the 30, we're at $22,820 now.
Right.
So if we could even knock off that 820.
Right.
That would be awesome. Or even the 20. If Absolutely. One person can do that, we would love it. 470-508-1160 is the number. Go ahead.
And I think the 10 grand is doable, because in the last, 25, 30 minutes, we've had over 4,000.
Right.
So for the next 30 minutes, I think that we need some big donors to just come along and help us to knock this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
But thank all those who have been able to make donations. Thank you so much for supporting the Quest during this pledge drive. Again, as I said, it is important that we continue to partner with them in the work of ministry, in helping to bring the good news to our local community. And in a special way, I'm here in the studio with Jeremy, and Jeremy himself benefited from the Quest being on. And that's why we're able to share the story here today. But before I let Jeremy continue with his story, I would just like to thank the Knights from St. Lawrence. I do call them the best knight in the Archdiocese, the best council. But I think they've been very supportive, and I think that they did make a big donation today for me to be on the radio. So Nelson is their grand knight, and all the other knights at St. Lawrence, thank you so much for the wonderful, wonderful work they're all doing in the parish. On October 29th, they'll be hosting our fall festival. So if you live in the Lawrenceville area or in the Gwinnett County area, please join us on October 29th for our fall festival. To purchase tickets, you could always come by the parish or call the parish office, and you'll be given instructions on how to do that.
And Father, make sure that somebody from St. Lawrence gives us the information so we can get it on our calendar.
Absolutely. We'll definitely put that out there. And also, some people might know, some might not know, but I'll be leading a pilgrimage next year to the Holy Land in June of next year. So if anyone would like to get more information about that, also they could call my parish office, St. Lawrence and Lawrenceville, and they will be happy to give them more information, and they could join us on that pilgrimage. But once more, I'll turn my attention back to Jeremy. So Jeremy, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to sit in the studio with you and share and listen to your story. And I know you started out talking about, your parents being divorced and the impact that had with you, and how that set you on a journey where you became close to your adopted family that exposed you or introduced you to the Christian faith. And I know, as you said, at some point, going back and forth to work, you were listening to the Quest, and of course, it started kind of planting a seed within you. But I know you tell me that there was a phone call you made that was the magic. So why don't you tell us about that phone call?
So the most impactful show by far was David Anders' call to communion.
Okay.
And because he too was a former Calvinist and even a member of the same Presbyterian denomination, his own conversion story resonated with me, and his ability to explain Catholic teachings in ways that Protestants could understand was very compelling. And so, I was really receiving from him I think it started off with the radio was helping me understand Catholics on their own terms. Catholics explain what Catholics do and what they believe to where it made more sense.
Okay.
It was more understandable.
Right.
And overcame some of the simplistic mocking stereotypes that you might hear from Protestant critiques of Catholicism.
Right.
But then I became more open to direct critiques of Protestant foundations, of which David Anders is an expert in delivering.
Hmm.
And the first one was his critique of the Protestant doctrine of sola scriptura, which basically holds that the Bible alone is the only infallible certain authority when it comes to matters of Christian doctrine and dogma. And of course, that's distinct from, you know, the Catholic view that, that God has left us with a church with an infallible teaching authority in matters of dogma. So his critiques of that, I was receptive to them immediately. They made sense, and sort of this presupposition of the Protestant Reformation really quickly dissolved. But that left me in a bit of crisis, because I knew at that point, logically, that Catholicism was a live option.
Okay.
But the distrust was so great towards the Catholic Church that I could not possibly see myself as becoming a Catholic, and was deeply embedded in more of the non-intellectual parts of my soul that just could not be overcome by reasoning.
Right.
And so in April of 2021, I was listening to his program for the upteenth time. And, you know, they always say, call us and tell us what's preventing you from becoming a Catholic. And so I heard that call to communion, you know, and the Spirit had been calling me, but I was a nerd. I wasn't doing anything. I was just passively listening. There was no act of faith on my part to respond whatsoever. But I felt compelled to call in. I've never called in a talk radio program before. Sports, politics, I've just never wanted to.
Right.
But I felt like I needed to. I felt like I had to get off my chest. Like, this is, I get what you're saying. This makes sense, but I cannot be a Catholic, and this is why.
Right.
And I need to tell you.
Right.
And so I asked him a question, and it wasn't so much the substance of his answer as the sense, the humbling sense of, there's so much more to this that I don't know. There's so much more to the story of the Reformation and the Catholic Church and that history that I don't know.
Right.
And, you know, I think humility and faith from is what is our response to God's grace. You know, the Spirit works in us as we respond in humility and faith. And this was a step of faith towards me that I really didn't even know that I was taking.
You know,
I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm taking a step of faith here. It was just the response that I felt like I needed at the time.
Right.
And so making that phone call just set off a cascade of events throughout the rest of that week.
Right.
By 8 days later, I knew that the Catholic Church was who she says she is.
She is.
And that I was being unmistakably called into the Catholic faith.
Right. You know, Jeremy, you bring up something which I think is very important. And before I get a little bit more into that, just to remind our listeners that, again, we're celebrating the last hour of the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive. And that we're hoping that many more people out there listening to us, promoting the radio station, are able to dial in and call in and try to make a donation to keep the quest on the air. The number for you to call to make a donation or to make a pledge is 470-508-1160. 470-508-1160. Or you could go to thequestatlanta.com on the website, or you could download the Quest Atlanta app on your phone, and on that, just tap the button for donate, and you'll be able to make a donation supporting the wonderful work that is being done over here at the Quest Radio.
And from now until the end of the pledge drive, which is just, you know what, 15 minutes from now, we still have that match money on the table. So anything you donate is going to be matched dollar for dollar. This is the time to do it. If you're thinking about doing it, this is it right here.
Wonderful.
Let's hit a grand slam in this ninth inning.
Yes. Absolutely.
Walk-off grand slam.
Absolutely. Jeremy, I'm so interested in your story for so many reasons, especially as a priest, and I get to journey with a lot of people who go through conversion. And the one thing which resonates in your story that I really like, and I think I'd like you to get a little bit into, is the transition from emotions to reason, right? You know, a lot of people reject Catholicism, for the most part, do so for emotional reasons, right? And I think that based on this encounter, the call that you made to Dr. Anders, I think that that brought about that change where it was no longer simply an emotional response to what I believe the Catholic faith stands for or the Catholic Church teaches. But now it gave you an opportunity for you to start logically trying to process and to understand some of those things. Would you say that you experience that transition in your journey?
Sure, but I would put it as reason first. So I think for the months that I was listening, you know, appeals were being made to my reason.
Right.
And reason told me that sola scriptura, for example, cannot be true.
Okay.
That was a purely rational argument that I was persuaded by. But again, that's not enough to get someone to make a paradigm shift in their thinking where your faith commitment now shifts. So I needed the emotions. I needed the personal issues, the personal distrust. I needed to be reached at that level.
Okay.
And again, that did not begin to happen until I took that step of faith and actually called in. And even though Anders was continuing to appeal to my reason because he's given me all these historical facts and they still making that appeal, emotionally some things had to happen. So there were a couple of things that happened the rest of that week. So I started listening to more conversion stories, particularly Calvinist to Catholic stories, and found very similar themes as to my own journey, very similar struggles that led people to consider Catholicism and that Catholicism helped to resolve. And Anders especially, I found a talk of his about where he made the claim that the biggest problem of Calvinism or Reformed theology is the problem of assurance of salvation.
Mm.
You know, how does one know that one is in the state of grace? How does one know that one is actually saved and is actually a Christian? And that had long been a personal struggle for me.
Right.
If you know anything about Calvinism, you know, the Puritans were kind of infamous for examining themselves for signs of election. Because if you're one of the elect, you're going to heaven and there's really nothing you can do about it. You're definitely going to be there.
Right.
But if you're not one of the elect, you're a reprobate. And there's not a whole lot you can do to change that. And you're going to be damned because, you know, God chooses both. And so that struggle was very real for me. You know, in spite of this rich spiritual history, in spite of being baptized and those sorts of things, I very much instinctively looked in myself in an introspective way for assurance of salvation, for signs of God's grace in my life.
Right.
And when I would find that evidence insufficient, you know, I would go through these kind of faith crises that maybe I'm not elect, maybe I'm not really saved, you know, in the first place. And so Dr. Anders' teaching about how that was rooted in Calvinist theology was very impactful for me. And he held out the sacramental Catholic life as an alternative to that, where you're rooting that assurance of God's favor in the objective means provided in the sacraments, not on your own fluctuating thoughts and emotions and other things about your life that are very subjective and going to come and go. So I found that to be personally liberating. It spoke to some of my struggles with depression and anxiety that I had long suffered with.
Right.
But at the same time, that was going on, and it took an extraordinary act of providence, though, I think, for God to kind of seal the deal and really bring me to completely emotionally around. Do you want me to speak to that?
Well, you know, yeah, because I think I wanted to get into that a little bit, because I think that in all of this, the listeners have to really understand the role of providence, right? You know, that in the end, I think every faith journey is built on God's providence, that when you look at all the events that took place at every step of the way, the conversation with Dr. Anders, but even the opportunity to just sit in your car and there you go, and you're able to, you know.
All that goes into creating a radio station in the first place requires lots of providence, right?
Right. So I think that it's important that the our listeners understand that every journey of faith, whether it is a conversion story or it's a credo Catholic, I mean, that it's all of that is founded and built upon God's providence, right? And I think that your story is a very glaring example of how that providence was able to be manifested in you. But yes, but I'd like to listen a little more about, the reason, the logical part of it, right? I think that, again, the fact that your response was a response of logic. It was, this stuff made sense to you. It wasn't simply, I always go back to what Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, right? He said, you know, there's not 100 people in the world who truly dislike the church, right? But there's millions of people who dislike what they perceive of the church, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that I always go back to that. And I think what Fulton Sheen, in essence, was saying is that if you have that logical understanding of what the church teaches, then there's really no way you could turn away from that, right? That you could you could turn your back on that. So I think that this encounter with Dr. Anders, I think that that really helped to foment and to ground you in that logical aspect of it.
Oh, it definitely did. I mean, and the argument against sola scriptura is quite simple. I mean, if the only source of knowledge of doctrine comes from the from what's explicitly taught in the Bible or can be deduced, you know, from what's taught in the Bible, then you would have to deduce or find explicitly taught in the Bible the doctrine of sola scriptura.
Right.
And it's not there.
It's not in the Bible, right?
It's not there. I mean, you can make lots of indirect kind of arguments and inferences from different things, but that shouldn't be... It should be more than that if it's going to qualify as dogma, if it's going to qualify as something that we can assent to, you know, with certainty.
Okay.
Yeah. Why don't we reset right here? And I will just say that this is the Best of the Quest pledge drive on AM 1160 The Quest. And we are speaking. We have Father Henry Attem here and Jeremy Noonan, hearing his conversion story, which is amazing, and how the Quest was very instrumental in making that happen for us, and for Jeremy, I should say. So if you want to keep programming like this going on, it does require donations,
right?
And that's how we survive. That's how we get the word out there.
Absolutely.
To people like Jeremy.
Right.
And you can do that by calling 470-508-1160. You can go to thequestatlanta.com or on the app. There's a donate button there as well that you can hit. So.
And Dave, I must just say on a personal note that I'm really grateful for the so many wonderful ways that the Quest has continued to make an impact in our community. I think that especially my parish up at St. Lawrence in Lawrenceville, we have a cohort of regular listeners, and they share with me every so often how impressed and how happy and how grateful they are that they have an opportunity like the Quest,
mm-hmm.
you know, for them to continue to listen to some solid, some meaningful and substantial, Catholic programming. So mm-hmm. I think that the work that you all are doing here at The Quest, I think it's very, very commendable. And, you know,
thanks
to the wonderful team that you all have here at The Quest. And I'm here in the studio with Jeremy, who happens to be one of the products of the beautiful work that the team here at The Quest is doing. Jeremy, I'm so fascinated by your story. I really am. And there's one part of your story that you said something about Dr. Brad Gregory, who was one of your groomsmen at your wedding. Share that part of the story with us.
Sure. Because I think, you know, ultimately, God wants the head and the heart to converge.
Absolutely.
You know, the reason in emotions. It's not one, then the other,
but it's
the convergence of the two. That's transformative.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, it's a sign of encounter with truth, because truth is goodness and beauty.
And
it's
beauty,
not just truth.
Right.
And so these were happening, you know, together that week. And so by the end of that week, you know, 3 days after calling in to talk to David Anders, I had to tell my wife that, you know, I said to her, I'm feeling called to the Catholic Church. I feel like God's calling me to the Catholic Church.
Right.
Which was a hard thing to say. It's hard to even hear myself saying those words.
What was your wife before that? Were you guys?
We've both been Presbyterians together since we got married.
Okay.
Yeah, so for the last 20 plus years, we've both been Presbyterians together.
Please tell us, what was her reaction when you
sure.
said that?
Well, my dear wife, she's a wonderful ER nurse and was had been, you know, dealing with the stress of treating people under COVID.
Right.
And she was really at the end of her rope. And she kindly and graciously said, you know, I don't have the emotional energy to even engage with this right now with you. You need to talk to Brad, the groomsman in our wedding. And the reason why she said talk to Brad is he was educated at Westminster Theological Seminary, which is very conservative.
Oh, wow.
Calvinist institution, got a PhD in theology from Notre Dame, and then is a professor at the Catholic University of America in the theology department. And I was surprised to learn that they will hire, you know, Protestant theologians to give some intellectual diversity.
Right.
So that's the position he's held for a while. So of course I'm thinking he knows more about Catholicism than anyone that I know. And he's been around this for years. He was educated around Catholics. He works at Catholic University. Surely he will talk me out of this.
Wow.
Surely, like, there's good reasons why he's not a Catholic.
In spite
of all that he knows.
Reformed Protestant Presbyterian, you said.
Reformed Presbyterian, yes, just like me.
Wow.
And so surely he will talk me out of this. Like, there's got to be something I'm not thinking, I'm not seeing, I'm not thinking straight. This all makes sense, but there's got to be something I'm missing.
Wow.
So I reached out to him by email and just, hey, can we talk about this? I'm feeling called to the Catholic Church. And I was desperate to talk.
Right.
And so he responded, I'll be happy to talk with you, but full disclosure, I am joining the Catholic Church on Pentecost.
Wow. My goodness. That was the introduction of the conversation.
That was his email response to me.
Oh, his email response.
His email response was, I'm happy to talk to you, but I'm joining the Catholic Church on Pentecost, May. This is still all April 2021. Right. But he promised that he would be as objective as possible. So he and I spoke the following Monday or Tuesday on my commute home from work. Ended up being a 2 to 3 hour conversation.
Wow.
And that's where, you know, the reasons, the emotions, everything just came together.
Wow.
Because he is the smartest, most educated person I'm friends with that I would have access to. And so we had a free-flowing conversation about history, philosophy, theology, the Bible. And he completely understood where I was coming from and had gone through the same struggles and the same process himself. Wow. And so it was a heavenly conversation, and we truly were of one mind and of one accord in this.
Wow. I just want to clear this up real quick. And so when your wife suggested this, she had no clue that he was joining the Catholic.
No clue. Yeah. She was like, this is the one. I can't handle this. This is the one person who can handle this.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to him and just get all this out.
Was she kind of expecting him to talk you out of it?
I don't know if that was her explicit. Maybe it was a hope. It wasn't an explicit expectation, but it was more like, you need someone to talk to you about this. I can't be this person right now to talk to you about this. And so given his background, that's who she wanted me to talk to. And we had not really talked in a few years, you know. So it was quite, I mean, I knew he had moved to Catholic University of America.
Yeah.
So of course that was a huge surprise.
It'll be someone.
It had the opposite effect, obviously, because not only was it a clear sign, but again, the conversation itself, like I did at the deepest level you could possibly imagine intellectually, is where that conversation went. And I knew at that point that this was the truth.
I mean, not only someone to help you process your thoughts and your emotions, but I think that this conversation with Dr. Brad Gregory, I think that, would you say it was finally what the final?
Sure. I knew at that point that there was no going back. When you undergo a paradigm shift, you know, if it's a true paradigm shift, it's not reversible.
Right.
Because now you see things you never saw before and there's no unseeing it.
Okay.
Right.
And plus the trust, once the trust shifts, you can't just go back to the thing that, you know, you can't just shift trust backwards.
No, you're right.
So the trust had shifted.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit did that,
right?
You know, unmistakably in my life. And then all the reasons were there, you know, and it's not like you work through every single issue. It didn't require working through every single issue.
Right.
There were still more issues. But what I knew was that the church, if there's a disagreement between the church and I, that I'm probably the one wrong, was at fault.
Right.
And so I need to defer to this divine authority that God's appointed on earth in exploring these things.
Right.
And so from that point on, you know, you explore other things like Marian dogmas are a big hang up for a lot of Protestants. And I didn't have the Marian dogmas resolved in my mind that this was true. I just knew that the church was probably right about Mary and I probably wasn't.
Right.
And so I should be the one deferring and listening and not the other way around.
Wow, that's good.
So tell you what, I don't think we're done with this conversation, are we?
No, we're not.
No. So
and we're going to do the Angelus now?
Yeah, so let's do the Angelus. I just want to say hi to Joe in Lawrenceville. Thank you for the donation. Pauline from Mableton, in honor of Father Henry, thank you. Christina from Loganville, and also Barbara from Lawrenceville. Mm. We thank you all very much for your generosity, keeping the pledge on the air, keeping us going, keeping the lights on here.
Beautiful.
We appreciate
that. That's great.
And so if you would like to donate, it's 470-508-1160. You can go to thequestatlanta.com or tap that donate button on the Quest Atlanta app. So let's just take a little time out. Let's pray the Angelus, which we do every day here at 6 p.m., and then we'll be right back.
When we get back, Jeremy's going to tell us the last part of his story. Okay?
Very good.
The Angelus is an ancient prayer of the church centered on the mystery of the incarnation of Jesus. The Quest invites you to pray the Angelus. The angel of the Lord declared to Mary,
and she conceived of the Holy Spirit.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord.
Be it done unto me according to thy word.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh,
and dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray.
Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen.
And this is WCFO East Point, Atlanta, AM 1160, The Quest. And this is the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive. It was supposed to end at 6 o'clock.
But I think there's just so much to talk about. I mean, especially sitting here with Jeremy and listening to his story. So I'm just going to
let me just say this. And so our new goal right now, and I don't know if we can do this or not, it's still very ambitious, $2,770.
Okay.
If we can do $2,770, and that's a dollar for dollar match, if you can make that, that would be awesome.
That'd be good. Okay.
Let's bring it home.
We'll keep working on that. But I was just going to say, as we continue to share with Jeremy here his story of faith, it's such a compelling story. And there's so many things about your story, Jeremy, that are unique. So I know we're supposed to end at 6, but we'll crave your indulgence for us to go just a few more minutes over the hour so that Jeremy could share with us some other parts of the story, which I find very interesting.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Jeremy, at this point, you have spoken to Dr. Brad Gregory, and he pretty much is on his way to becoming Catholic, and now you cannot be talked out of it anymore. So it almost seems as if you have no option, but now I have to become Catholic. So, but I think I'd like you to share the part of the story on how, because as a Reformed Presbyterian, you said you were, how did that end up with your church, with your family? I mean, what was the response from all those involved?
Sure. Well, I think it's important to understand that of the various branches of Protestant Christianity, Calvinism, both historically and theologically, is the most anti-Catholic branch in our particular church, a very conservative Calvinist church, does not regard Catholicism as a valid manifestation of Christianity.
Oh, wow.
And would see that the gospel in Catholicism is so distorted as to not be the gospel.
Oh, wow.
So one could not be a knowledgeable Christian who's led by the Holy Spirit and change from Calvinism to Catholicism. Like, that's not possible, that the Holy Spirit would lead a true Christian who understood the doctrines and the differences to do that.
Wow.
And so I knew that telling the church, would be a big deal.
Mm.
And the church is a very loving congregation.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for my whole Protestant, background in the different Presbyterian churches I've been a part of. Loving congregation, very faithful leaders who very much shepherd the people, but I knew that telling them would be hard.
Okay.
Furthermore, this is not a place where I could expect my family to follow me. The process that I went through I'm not going to use my authority, as a head of the household to compel any sorts of changes.
Right.
And the process I went through is very unique, so I couldn't expect anyone to go down this road with me.
Yeah.
So it would be inherently difficult.
There's something interesting what you're saying, which as a pastor really resonates, that you feel compelled that as you're going through this journey, as you're at this point of the journey, you feel compelled that you have to share that with the church, what is happening to you, the decision you're about to make. Because, in the Catholic Church, part of it may be parish sizes, but people come and go and people leave and, you know, people join the church. I mean, the ones that join the church, yeah, we journey with them through the RCIA. But I'm just curious about why you felt that you had to inform someone or you had to inform the church. Yeah.
Well, it was an obligation I felt to them as the spiritual leaders that I had committed myself to.
Okay.
When we joined the church, you know, 10 years ago, that I had an obligation to them before God.
Right.
To, out of respect for them and deference to them, that they would know what was going on, especially before I started RCIA classes in the fall. I didn't want this to be some secret.
Right.
But I did go through, it took a few months where I started studying more, you know, after this conversation with Brad, and was constantly listening to Catholic Radio and Coming Home Network materials and Catholic Answers and those sorts of things, where I was really becoming grounded and having conversations with my older children about what I was doing so they would understand it. And my wife as well. But I knew, you know, telling the church would be a really big deal, because I'm not exaggerating to say that telling them that I was becoming an atheist So telling them that you're becoming a Catholic would be worse than telling them that you're becoming an atheist.
Wow.
Because they see it as a false religion that, you know, perverts Christianity. Wow. And so it's more
that
dangerous.
That is amazing.
So it was hard to tell them, but I knew that I had an obligation to. Mm. And I knew that it also was like, I knew this would be difficult once they got involved.
Right.
You know, for my family.
Okay.
And social situation. And, you know, they did get involved. I mean, I knew that they would take it seriously. I knew that it would become a formal, you know, process at a certain point.
Okay.
And after one meeting where they, you know, really sought to inquire and understand exactly what I was believing now and how it came about, you know, I was excluded from communion, from taking the Lord's Supper at the church.
At the church, wow.
And eventually was, you know, asked formally to cease going to Mass and cease going to RCIA.
Oh, they asked you to stop going to
In
Mass.
A formal letter.
Okay.
Yeah, asked me to stop going to both of those things and to return to the, you know, true Church of Jesus Christ, that I could no longer fulfill my membership vows if I was pursuing this at all. That this was not something, again, this is not the truth. This is a distortion of the gospel. You can't be a true Christian and go this route.
Okay. Well, I think I want our listeners to be clear about something. So they told you, you have to cease going to Mass and cease going to RCIA, as in you, that going to be going down the path of conversion to Catholicism was not only heretical, but it was like a grave offense.
No, there was, my soul was in jeopardy.
Wow.
Very.
So they were saying that you should cease doing those things and return back to the church. Is that what they were saying?
The true Church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Which was the Reformed Presbyterian
Church. I mean, they have a broader conception of the true church that would consist of all Bible-believing evangelicals. Okay. That's what they say when they minister communion. So not Presbyterian specifically, but generally, like, the Catholicism is not the true church.
Okay, so Catholicism was outside of that realm.
Totally outside of it. Okay. And again, not a valid manifestation of Christianity at all, but a false and perverse religion that leads people to damnation.
That's interesting. Again, we are grateful to all of our listeners. Jeremy, thank you so much for continuing to share your story. Again, we are getting close here to the end of this pledge drive, the Best of the Quest. And I cannot emphasize enough how important the work that the team over here at the Quest is doing in helping us to continue to evangelize. So please, we ask you to donate. We ask you to make a pledge. We ask you to support the cause. That number for you to donate is 470-508-1160. You could do it on the website, thequestatlanta.com, or you could also do it through the Quest Atlanta app on your phones.
So I had to say no to that letter. I mean, that was part of the letter brought some clarity.
Okay.
In that they knew I was not, I mean, they hoped I might say yes, but they knew that my answer was probably going to be no, that I'm not going to continue to go to Mass.
Right.
I'm not going to cease going to Mass and to RCIA. And so they were trying to bring the issue to a head because they wanted some formal resolution. So the path where you can dissolve your membership kind of voluntary, or we can take you to an excommunication trial, essentially, which we force the dissolution of your membership.
Okay.
And, you know, I wanted more space and time to kind of work through this, but they wanted it resolved. And so that letter, I had to write a response to that letter.
Wow.
In which I basically said, look, of these five vows, I believe I'm fulfilling four of them quite faithfully in this. Again, this is a continuity. This is not discontinuity.
Right.
This is a greater fulfillment of what I've always believed. This is not something that's some break.
Exactly.
I'm not experiencing it at all.
It's not a rupture.
Right. I'm experiencing it as a continuity and greater fulfillment. But for them, it's a complete rupture and continuity.
Right.
But I did have to say that the vow to submit to the leadership of this local congregation is not one that I can fulfill in this matter, because you're commanding me to do something that I believe that God has led me to do, which is to go to Mass and go through the RSA process. And so that's what led to the formal dissolution of my membership.
Okay. So so at this point, where are you in the process? Are you Catholic? Are you not Catholic? What are you now at this point?
In mind and spirit, but not formally.
Okay. So not again, sacramentally.
Not, sir, that's good to put it. Not sacramentally as much as I long for that. Though in a strange way, like I started feeling the benefits of the sacraments before even taking them.
Right.
Because again, when I heard Anders present a sacramentology, the sacramental life as an alternative to this morbid introspection that had been so psychologically damaging to me in a lot of ways, that was so liberating. It's like I was liberated by the promise of the sacraments before even partaking of a single one, beside baptism, of course, my baptism has become more meaningful to me, even in adopting a Catholic. My Protestant baptism, I've had two of them because I was baptized as a baby as well, but I mean, that's become more meaningful to me as a result of seeing baptism and sacraments in a Catholic way. So where I am now is I might have finished RCIA for social reasons and family reasons. I felt it would be best to not join at the Easter vigil.
Okay.
And, it's a difficult thing to go through when you're a deeply Protestant family, and I've got to be sort of sensitive to those realities.
Absolutely.
And I've had some really, really dear Christian friends and brothers who have been helping me kind of guide me through this. Like, you got to think about how this impacts your wife and your family, and you got to be careful.
Okay.
But, that was a few months ago. And at this point, I'm planning, it's not been confirmed. My confirmation has not been confirmed.
Okay.
But I'm looking at becoming confirmed on November 1st, which is All Saints Day.
All Saints Day. Yeah. Okay. That'll be at St. Teresa's in Douglasville.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. So, every conversion story, as you just mentioned, affects a lot of members of the family, affects a lot of friends, because, it's almost like there's almost a sense of an abandonment. I say that abandonment in quotes, right?
Exactly.
And then there's almost like a picking up of a whole new way of life and a whole new,
Even betrayal.
Yeah, it's a sense of betrayal and all of that. So how have you been trying to process all of this with your wife? Is she on board with you? Is she coming along with you? Or is she still part of the Reformed Church?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, too.
Yeah, I know. Well, how is that playing out in that?
Sure. Well, There are some boundaries there that have to be respected.
Right.
I tell my wife, it's like, you are much holier than me and more sanctified than me.
Most women are.
Right. You are much more along the path towards being perfected in charity than I am. So maybe I need this. I need this for my own sanctification more than you do.
Right.
And so that's certainly kind of part of it. But there's just boundaries there that you have to be respectful of.
Right.
Because it's not just a matter of knowledge and reason.
Right.
And it's certainly not a matter of her, anyone's, the degree of their devotion, to Christ as well. That if you were as devoted, you would see the truth of this and you would follow where I'm going. It's not that.
No, it's not that. That's
and right. So the reasons are so deep and complex, and we're all historically situated in this 500-year story of division, that you have to be respectful of those boundaries. And so that's where we are, is trying to figure out, okay, I'm respecting your boundaries while you're trying to respect what God's doing in my life.
Right.
As hard as this is.
God bless her.
So, I do have her, moving forward. She's sort of come to terms that this is what God has done, in my life, and has kind of given the green light to move forward to confirmation.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Sometimes some of the complications with some of this, especially in the family, where, dad is doing one thing and mom is doing something else, sometimes that may, in a way, affect children. The children.
Yes.
What direction do they go? Do they go with dad? Do they go with mom? Especially when both parents are separated in their religious practices, and both take their religious practices seriously.
Exactly.
Right?
And we've had to keep a unified front. And so I'm very careful, you know, to say, well, there's so many riches to the Catholic tradition that can enhance the life of any Christian.
Right.
So anything I might bring to family conversation, you know, we do family worship regularly, which our church has always encouraged us to do.
Right.
And anything I bring, I want to make sure that this is broadly agreeable.
Right.
With what Protestants believe generally, what Presbyterians believe specifically. Mm-hmm. So things that are more controversial.
Right.
I'm not going to, you know, lead my family in a prayer to Mary.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to talk about what the Pope is doing and how we need to respect and follow him and pray for him.
Right.
I'm not going to pray to saints. I mean, those sorts of things are unnecessarily divisive.
Absolutely.
And so you have, but there's, I mean, we recite the same Nicene Creed
right.
at our church right. as you do every Sunday at Mass. There's so many things that we have in common. And my wife and I just agree that those are the things that we need to focus on, you know, to continue to have a common life in Christ, you know, together as a family. And I mean, she's so gracious and patient with me that, you know, we've been able to work towards that with some success.
That's awesome that you've found that middle ground.
Well, and it's important too.
I'd say we're finding it, with some success. Okay. You know, you work towards it, but I think that we're kind of in a good place. Where she has to kind of trust me that you're not going to just sneak this stuff in,
right?
And then I have to be again respectful of, look, this is how we raised our kids, and so I can't just expect that they're just going to change on a dime and be okay with this. And so it's better for them. That's why I still go to church with them. I want to be very supportive. Even though they go to church in a very anti-Catholic sort of environment, it's not in their faces all the time.
Right.
And so I still try to go and be supportive. And I mean, when I told my 7-year-old about that I was becoming Catholic, he started crying because he thought it meant I wasn't going to go to church with them anymore.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure that, no, that's not what it means. And I need to continue to be present and a part of this. And I continue to benefit because the view that Catholics have towards their separated brethren is that animosity doesn't go both ways,
right?
Right. So there's an attitude of grace and recognizing like there's grace present in here. So when I go to church with them, I'm actually less bothered by the things that were bothering me.
Right.
Yeah, the cracks in Calvinism that I was seeing that you read about. Those things are no longer like I'm detached from them.
Okay.
They don't weigh on me anymore because I'm detached from them. And so I actually go there and can worship more fully and freely.
Mm-hmm.
As a Catholic with my family than I was before.
Wow.
And receive, like, we have a wonderful pastor. He preaches great sermons.
Right.
Like, and I can learn from this and be fed from this and then help my family, you know, grow and learn from this. And so that's where we've landed.
You know, Jeremy, thank you so much for sharing that story. You know, the Second Vatican Council, the Council Fathers, in a document, try to describe what the relationship is like between the Catholic Church and the other Christian churches, right? And I think they were very clear about the fact that the Catholic Church contains the fullness of truth, right? That the fullness of God's revelation resides in the church, subsists in the Catholic Church. But I think that, you know, just listening to your story, I think it's also important for us to understand if there's any, you know, non-Catholic listener on the phone who is listening to Jeremy speak and saying that, okay, well, there's not a Dr. Brad Gregory in my life, or there's not a chance for me to listen to Dr. Anders. There's not, you know, a different dynamic to their own story, you know, to understand that in the church, we do not believe that the Catholic Church, you know, reject the other Christian churches. No, but we believe that the church contains the fullness of the truth, right? And that in those other churches, there are traces and there are, there are the little iotas of truth, which are revealed in different ways, but that when they come to the Catholic Church, they receive the fullness of that truth, right? And I think that those cracks that you experience in the Calvinist church, I think were able to help you bring that transition to light, right?
Absolutely. It helped prepare me to receive
the fullness
of the Catholic Church, because there are these ideals that they're pursuing, but I realized that the foundations of Protestantism actually historically and logically, but when it's worked out over time, those foundations ultimately undermines those ideals.
Right.
But whereas in Catholicism, you have the foundations for the ideals. There's no tension between the underlying foundations and the practices.
And the practices.
So like, right. you know, high sacramentology is a good example.
Right.
You know, our church takes the Lord's Supper very seriously. As far as the range of Protestants, they do take it more seriously than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize, if we're going to take this thing that seriously, but underlying this, like the roots of this don't really support that. Or lend itself to that.
Right.
But when you look at Catholic roots and Catholic history and Catholic theology, it's much not only coherent in a logical way.
It's kind of organic. You can tell it's an organic growth.
Sure, because there's coherence in terms of fittingness, not just like logical deduction, but in terms of fittingness. And fittingness has a lot to do with beauty as well.
Absolutely.
And so it's not just rationally these things hang together better, which they do, which is a sign of truth.
Right.
But it's also a beauty to it as well that you just have to encounter and be changed by it.
Right.
It's not something you can kind of reason yourself to. Right. And I think Catholic Radio does a good job of holding out both to its listeners. You know, it's not just, well, here's the content, here's the facts and information that appeals to the mind, which it does. But there's just a beauty to it.
Right.
In the way that people talk, the way that they relate to one another, the spirit-filled nature of it. It's undeniable. So I think it's the spirit of Catholic Radio, having the spirit of Christ and more fully the spirit of the Catholic Church, you're encountering that beauty and the goodness of it,
right.
not just the truth from the content.
Right. Well, Jeremy, thank you very, very much for sharing that story. It's important that our listeners understand that Jeremy is a product. Or at least your a big part of your conversion story.
It all started with Catholic Radio.
With Catholic Radio,
no doubt
right?
about it.
When you were listening to The Quest on your way to and from work. And I think that it is important for our listeners to understand that, to appreciate that, and to be able to partner with us in this great work of evangelization that I think The Quest continues to do. We're coming now to the end of this pledge drive, the mm-hmm. Best of The Quest. And Dave, do we have any information about numbers or anything like that?
We not totally. I just want to give a shout out here to Anna. She has made a donation. She's from Noonan. And this is in honor of Father Henry's birthday, which is coming up in 5 days here.
Yeah, my birthday's coming up in 5 days.
And she says, don't expect a gift now.
Sounds like Anna.
I want to remind our listeners, first of all, I want to just say, if you're tuning in right now expecting Catholic Answers Live, we're going to be joining that in progress very shortly here.
Okay, yes.
So we'll be getting back to that. But I also want to say, if you missed Jeremy's story, it's going to be on our website. It's going to be on demand and also on the app, and you can listen to it. It's a very compelling story. I thought it was riveting myself.
Right.
And if you question the validity or the importance, I guess, of Catholic Radio and The Quest,
right.
listen to Jeremy's story.
Absolutely.
And that will, it will say, okay, this station needs to stick around.
Exactly.
I think just to reiterate the effects of, like I said, I was in a period of spiritual desolation.
Right.
I had gone through bouts of depression, which had never really quite got to the root causes of it.
Right.
And through this radio station and this entree into the Catholic faith, I mean, it was huge, huge revival spiritually for me that I'd been praying for a long time.
Right.
Amazing transformative sense of the love of God for me.
Right.
No longer doubting, am I elect or not?
Right.
And looking in my own mind and heart. Exclusively for evidence of that. It's really had a healing and transformative effect on me. This encounter with the truth, beauty, and goodness of the Catholic Church.
That's beautiful.
And it's all embodied in this station and its programming.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. Yeah. And Jeremy, not only are we grateful for the fact that you were able to reach out and listen to the station, but also your desire to come in and share that story with the listeners, right? I think that's also very important, because I think a lot of people sitting out there and listening to The Quest or listening to us asking for donations and for pledges to support the work of The Quest, you know, they'll be saying to themselves, you know, well, where are the fruits? Where's evidence of the fact that there's some good work being done at The Quest? And
it's the best way to sow seed. It's the simplest way to invest in evangelism and to sow seed broadly throughout the archdiocese.
Right.
And you never know where that seed is going to land.
It's going to land. That's right. So, yeah. I mean, you put it so beautifully. Okay, so we're going to round things up here, and we're going to say a prayer, and then we'll be transitioning into the next programming. But
I just want to say, I'm not sure, we've got volunteers on the phones, and we don't pay them overtime.
Oh, okay.
We don't pay them anything.
Okay.
So I'm not 100% sure that the phones are still being answered, but I'm going to give that number just in case, 470-508-1160.
Okay.
But I know that if you go to thequestatlanta.com or to the app on your phone, the donate button, that's still going to work the rest of tonight and probably all day tomorrow as well.
Right. Well, I think that we're always taking donations, right?
So absolutely.
So anytime, if you could not make a donation today, you could make it tomorrow, next week, next month. But please do something to try to support the work that is being done over here at the Quest Atlanta.
Okay. And I'd like to add, you know, I mean, I became a monthly donor, I mean, soon after this conversion experience. And I know that radio stations like NPR, you'll hear this, like that monthly donors are the lifeblood of the station.
The station, right.
So I've put my money where my mouth is, so to speak, and would urge listeners to consider a monthly donation.
Absolutely.
And our Phil, he's our main volunteer here.
Right.
He said the phones are still manned. So if you do want to call, it's 470-508-1160.
Okay, praise God. I'm glad people are still calling
in. Yeah, right. That's right. No, Jeremy, thank you so very much.
Maybe if we stay here the rest of the night, we could raise next year's budget, too. Just keep talking.
There we go.
That's good. All right. Well, we thank all our listeners so much for helping out, for tuning in and listening to the beautiful story, Jeremy Noonan's story. And, Jeremy, we pray for you and for your family. We ask that Almighty God will help you and continue to guide and direct you on this journey. And I'm looking forward to November 1st.
Right.
You know, everything being equal, when you're able to receive the sacrament of confirmation. And I also pray for your family. What's your wife's name?
Kelly.
Okay. So if Kelly, you're listening, just know that Father Henry up in Lawrenceville is praying for you and for all the kids. And
Alice from St. Brendan the Navigator Parish in Cumming, Georgia.
Sorry about that.
Well, sorry about that. We're trying to round up and we had a little technological mix-up, but we are still on earth. We're not in heaven, so so
right.
Not be perfect. So, but I was just giving a message out there to Kelly and to the kids that thank you for standing by this man, this good man, Jeremy, here in his journey of faith. And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in for this last hour of the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive. And as I said, please let your donations continue to come in. It only helps to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we ask you to please continue to donate, continue to support the quest. If you haven't yet downloaded the app on your phone, please consider doing that. And when you're on the road, wherever you are, you could always tune in and listen to the wonderful programming that they have here on the quest. But also encourage other people to do so. Encourage other people to make an effort to join in the mission of the quest. So, Jeremy, I'm going to give you the very last statement. And the very last statement I'm going to give you is, if you have other people who are Reformed Presbyterians or Calvinists who are listening, what final message would you have for them about this transition that you've been able to go through?
Sure. I think just reiterating what we're talking about at the end, one, understanding that the way that the Catholic Church views the church is much more biblical than the way that any Protestant church views itself.
Wow.
It's clear in the Bible, if you're talking about Bible only, if that's your authority.
Right.
It's clear in the Bible that the main provision Jesus made for preserving the divine revelation that was in his person and his teaching was first and foremost the church.
Right.
And then the Bible, the New Testament followed from that over the decades and centuries. The church is God's plan for preserving and passing on that revelation.
Right.
It's also clear that the church is meant to be a unified, visible institution.
Right.
That all Christians are to be part of and that retains Christ's authority on earth.
Absolutely.
So there are compelling biblical reasons to accept the Catholic view of itself, of the nature of the church. And then, two, the many things that Calvin the Calvinist tradition aspired to do and preserve. Much of that's been lost in the Protestant tradition, other Protestant denominations, and there's reasons for that that have to do with the nature of Protestantism itself and its foundations. And I found, again, that the cracks in those things, that those things are good. It's just that the Catholic Church gives a much more solid foundation, you know, rationally, historically, and institutionally, you know, to support the ideals that, you know, Calvinists have long sought after in, in the church. So I would just ask you to prayerfully consider those things if you're considering Catholicism yourself.
Oh, beautiful. I think that's a very wonderful way for you to help us round things up here this evening. So I'd like to extend a shout out to my family that has been very supportive, and I think their names came up also in the, some of the pledges they've made for my family. So to my mom, Josephine, to my brothers and sisters and their spouses, thank them so much for all the support that they continue to give me.
Yes, and, thank you.
Yes, and to my wonderful, wonderful parish of St. Lawrence, I am deeply grateful to all of them for their support. Anna also called a minute ago to say I'm not getting anything for my birthday. Well, Anna, I'm looking for three dimensions, okay? I know she's going to laugh at that. They say I always give homilies in dimensions, so.
Nice.
Yeah, so. But anyway, so 6:30, so we're going to wrap up, and then we're going to have the other programming continue on the quest.
Yeah, Catholic Answers Live will be here
shortly. Catholic Answers.
Love Catholic Answers, okay. So we're going to conclude with a closing prayer, and then, again, we encourage you to please continue to support and continue to make your donations, okay? Jeremy, thank you so very much. It was wonderful sharing this.
It's a pleasure to be here. What a privilege.
Okay.
It's good to meet you.
All right.
Establish a lasting friendship, I hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll offer our prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to you for blessing us with the gift of the church, that institution through which you continue to establish your presence here in our world. Before your Son ascended to heaven, he commissioned the apostles to go into the whole world and to proclaim the good news. It is this mission that continues to drive the church and continues to direct her activities. Today, we are grateful for blessing us, especially with the Quest Atlanta Radio, that continues to participate and partner with the church in this great mission of evangelization. We ask you to bless all those who are behind the good work of this network, all those who continue to support the network with their time, talent, and treasure. We ask you also to bless them from your providential love. We ask that you bless Jeremy and his family, Jeremy Kelly and all the children, and all those who have listened to us, and all those who continue to struggle with the process of conversion, that you send the Holy Spirit to deposit the seed of faith in their hearts, and that they will truly see in their church your presence, your body here on earth. We ask you to bless us in all things as we seek to give you glory. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.